friend? And when are you going to introduce her to Mom and Dad? What should I tell her, JB? Tell her, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I gotta pee, JB says, running out of the room, leaving me still in his shoes. Okay, I'm back, Alexis. So, what's the verdict, Jordan? Do you want to be my girlfriend? Are you asking me to be your girl? I think so. You think so? Well, I have to go now. Yes. Yes, what? I like you. A lot. I like you too, precious. So now I'm precious. Everyone calls you JB. Then I guess it's official. Text me later. Good night, Miss Sweet. What did you call me? Good night, my sweetness. Good night, precious. JB comes running out of the bathroom. What'd she say, Josh? Come on, tell me. She said she likes me a lot. I tell him. You mean she likes me a lot? He asks. Yeah. That's what I meant. JB and I eat lunch together every day, taking bites of Mom's tuna salad on wheat between arguments. Who's the better dunker, Blake or LeBron? Which is superior, Nike or Converse? Only today, I waited our table in the back for 25 minutes, texting Vondi, homesick, eating a fruit cup, alone. Before I see JB strut into the cafeteria with Miss Sweet Tea, holding his precious hand. Boy walks into a room with a girl. They come over. He says, "Hey, filthy McNasty," like he said forever. But it sounds different this time. And when he snickers, she does too. Like it's some inside joke. And my nickname, some dirty punchline. At practice, coach says we need to work on our mental game. If we think we can beat Independence Junior High, the defending champions, the number one seed, the only other undefeated team, then we will. But instead of drills and sprints, we sit on our butts, make weird sounds, om, om, and meditate. Suddenly I get this vision of JB in a hospital. I quickly open my eyes, turn around, and see him looking dead at me like he's just seen a ghost. Second person. After practice, you walk home alone. This feels strange to you because as long as you can remember, there has always been a second person. On today's long hot mile, you bounce your basketball, but your mind is on something else. Not whether you will make the playoffs, not homework, not even what's for dinner. You wonder what JB and his pink Reebok-wearing girlfriend are doing. You do not want to go to the library, but you go. Because your report on The Giver is due tomorrow. And JB has your copy. But he's with her, not here with you, which is unfair. Because he doesn't argue with you about who's the greatest, Michael Jordan or Bill Russell, like he used to. Because JB will not eat lunch with you tomorrow, or the next day, or next week. Because you are walking home by yourself, and your brother owns the world. Third wheel. You walk into the library, glance over at the music section. You look through the magazines. You even sit at a desk and pretend to study. You ask the librarian where you can find The Giver. She says something odd. Did you find your friend? Then she points upstairs. On the second floor, you pass by the computers, kids checking their Facebook, more kids in line waiting to check their Facebook. In the biography section, you see an old man reading The Tipping Point, You walk down the last aisle, teen fiction, and come to the reason you're here. You remove the book from the shelf and there, behind the last row of books, you find the friend the librarian was talking about. Only she's not your friend, and she's kissing your brother. Tipping point. Noun. The point when an object shifts from one position into a new, entirely different one. As in, my dad says the tipping point of our country's economy was housing gamblers and greedy bankers. As in, if we get one C on our report cards, I'm afraid Mom will reach her tipping point, and that will be the end of basketball. As in, today at the library, I went upstairs, walked down an aisle, pulled the giver off the shelf, and found my tipping point. The main reason I can't sleep is not because of the game tomorrow night, is not because the stubble on my head feels like bugs are breakdancing on it, is not even because I'm worried about Dad. The main reason I can't sleep tonight is because Jordan is on the phone with Miss Sweet Tea, and between the giggling and the breathing, he tells her how much she's the apple of his eye, and that he wants to peel her and get under her skin. And give me a break. I'm still hungry, and right about now, I wish I had an apple of my own. Surprised. I have it all planned out. When we walk to the game, I will talk to JB, man to man, about how he's spending way more time with Alexis than with me and Dad. Except when I hear the horn, I look outside my window and it's raining, and JB is jumping into a car with Miss Sweet Tea and her dad, ruining my plan. Conversation. In the car, I ask Dad if going to the doctor will kill him. He tells me he doesn't trust doctors, that my grandfather did, and look where it got him. 6 feet under, at 45. But Mom says your dad was really sick, I tell him. And Dad just rolls his eyes. So I try something different. I tell him that just because your teammate gets fouled on a layup doesn't mean you shouldn't ever drive to the lane again. He looks at me and laughs so loud, we almost don't hear the flashing blues behind us. Game time, 6 p.m. At 5:28 p.m., a cop pulls us over because Dad has a broken taillight. At 5:30, the officer approaches our car and asks Dad for his driver's license and registration. At 5:32, the team leaves the locker room and pregame warm-ups begin without me. At 5:34, Dad explains to the officer that his license is in his wallet, which is in his jacket, at home. At 5:37, Dad says, "Look, sir, my name is Chuck Bell, and I'm just trying to get my boy to his basketball game." At 5:47, while Coach leads the Wildcats in team prayer, I pray Dad won't get arrested. At 5:48, the cop smiles after verifying Dad's identity on Google and says, "You the man!" At 5:50, Dad autographs a Krispy Kreme napkin for the officer and gets a warning for his broken taillight. At 6:01, we arrive at the game, but on my sprint into the gym, I slip and fall in the mud. This is my second year playing for the Reggie Lewis Wildcats, and I've started every game until tonight, when Coach tells me to go get cleaned up, then find a seat on the bench. When I try to tell him it wasn't my fault, he doesn't want to hear about sirens and broken taillights. "Josh, better an hour too soon than a minute too late," he says, turning his attention back to JB and the guys on the court, all of whom are pointing and laughing at me. Basketball rule number 6. A great team has a good scorer with a teammate who's on point and ready to assist. Josh's play-by-play. At the beginning of the second half, we're up 23-12. I enter the game for the first time. I'm just happy to be back on the floor. When my brother and I are on the court together, this team is unstoppable, unfadable, and yes, undefeated. JB brings the ball up the court, passes the ball to Vondi. He shoots it back to JB. I call for the ball. JB finds me in the corner. I know y'all think it's time for the pick and roll, but I got something else in mind. I get the ball on the left side. JB is setting the pick. Here it comes. I roll to his right. The double team is on me, leaving JB free. He's got his hands in the air looking for the dish from me. Dad likes to say, when Jordan Bell is open, you can take his three to the bank, cash it in, 'cause it's all money. Tonight, I'm going for broke. I see JB still wide open, McDonald's drive-thru open, but I got my own plans. The double team is still on me like feathers on a bird. Ever seen an eagle soar? So high, so fly. Me and my wings are. And that's when I remember. My wings are gone. Coach Hawkins is out of his seat. Dad is on his feet screaming, JB screaming, the crowd screaming, filthy, pass the ball. The shot clock is at 5. I dribble out of the double team. 4. Everything comes to a head. 3. I see Jordan. 2. You want it that bad? Here you go. 1. Before, today, I walk into the gym covered in more dirt than a chimney. When JB screams Filthy's McNasty, the whole team laughs. Even coach. Then I get benched for the entire first half for being late. Today I watch as we take a big lead and JB makes 4 threes in a row. I hear the crowd cheer for JB, especially Dad and Mom. Then I see JB wink at Miss Sweet Tea after he hits a stupid free throw. Today, I finally get into the game at the start of the second half. JB sets a wicked pick for me just like Coach showed us in practice, and I get double-teamed on the roll just like we expect. Today I watch JB get open and wave for me to pass. Instead, I dribble, trying to get out of the trap, and watch as Coach and Dad scream for me to pass. Today I plan on passing the ball to JB, but when I hear him say, "Filthy, give me the ball," I dribble over to my brother and fire a pass so hard, it levels him. The blood from his nose still shooting long after the shot clock buzzer goes off. Third quarter. After, on the short ride home from the hospital, there is no jazz music or hoop talk, only brutal silence. The unspoken words volcanic and weighty. Dad and Mom, solemn and wounded. JB, bandaged and hurt, leans against his backseat window, and with less than 2 feet between us, I feel miles away from all of them. Suspension. "Sit down," Mom says. Feels like we're in her office. "Can I make you a sandwich?" But we're in the kitchen. "You want a tall glass of orange soda?" Mom doesn't ever let us drink soda. "Eat up, because this may be your last meal." Here it comes. Boys with no self-control become men behind bars. "Have you lost your mind, son?" "No." "Did your father and I raise you to be churlish?" "No." "So what's been wrong with you these past few weeks?" "Put that sandwich down and answer me." "I guess I've been just..."
"You've been just what? Deranged?"
"Don't me. Talk like you have some sense."
I didn't mean to hurt him. You could have permanently injured your brother.
I know. I'm sorry, Mom.
You're sorry for what?
I'm confused, Josh. Make me understand. When did you become a thug?
I don't know. I just was a little
Are you going to get angry every time JB has a girlfriend?
It wasn't just that.
Then what was it?
I'm waiting.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, since you don't know, here's what I know.
I just got a little upset.
Not good enough. Your behavior was unacceptable.
I said I'm sorry.
Indeed you did, but you need to tell your brother, not me.
I will.
There are always consequences, Josh.
Here it comes. Dishes for a week, no phone, or worse, no Sundays at the rec.
Josh, you and JB are growing up.
I know.
You're twins, not the same person.
But that doesn't mean he has to stop loving me.
Your brother will always love you, Josh.
I guess. Boys with no discipline end up in prison.
Yeah, I heard you the first time.
Don't you get smart with me and end up in more trouble.
Why are you always trying to scare me?
We're done.
Your dad is waiting for you.
Okay.
But what are the consequences?
You're suspended.
From school?
From the team.
Churlish.
Adjective.
Having a bad temper and being difficult to work with.
As in, I wanted a pair of Stefan Marbury sneakers, Starbury's, but Dad called him a selfish millionaire with a bad attitude. And why would I want to be associated with such a churlish choke artist? As in, I don't understand how I went from annoyed to grumpy to downright churlish. As in, how do you apologize to your twin brother for being churlish, for almost breaking his nose? This week, I get my report card, make the honor roll, watch the team win game 9. Volunteer at the library, eat lunch alone 5 times, avoid Miss Sweet Tea, walk home by myself, clean the garage during practice, try to atone day and night, sit beside JB at dinner, he moves, tell him a joke, he doesn't even smile, do his chores, he pays no attention, say I'm sorry, but he won't listen. Basketball rule number 7. Rebounding is the art of anticipating, of always being prepared to grab it. But you can't drop the ball. The nosebleed section. Our seats are in the clouds, and every time Dad thinks the ref makes a bad call, he rains. All Mom does is pop up like an umbrella, then Dad sits back down. JB's got 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. He's on fire, blazing from baseline to baseline. Dad screams, "Somebody needs to call the fire department because JB is burning up this place." The other team calls a timeout. "Dad, JB still won't speak to me," I say. "Right now, JB can't see you, son," Dad says. "You just have to let the smoke clear, and then he'll be okay. For now, why don't you write him a letter?"
"Good idea, I think."
"But what should I say?" I ask him. By then, Dad is on his feet with the rest of the gym, as JB steals the ball and takes off like a wildfire. Fast break. He's a backcourt baller on the break. A running, gunning, shooting star flying fast. JB's fixing for the glass, bounce, bounce, ball beside him, Now he's getting flyer and flyer, climbing sky. He nods his head and pumps a fake, explodes the lane. Chris ball, cross ball, Chris, and takes the break, kaboom. Above the rim, a thunderous almost dunk. That elbow just sent JB kerplunk to the floor. Foul. Storm. Like a strong wind, Dad rises from the clouds, strikes down the stairs, swift and sharp and mad as lightning. Flagrant foul, ref, he yells to everyone in the gym. Now he's hail and blizzard, his face cold and hard as ice, his hands pulsing through the air, his mouth loud as thunder. He tackled JB. This ain't football. Dad roars in the face of the ref while JB and his attacker do the eye dance. I want to join in, offer my squall, but Mom shoots me a look that says, stay out of the rain, son. So I just watch as she and Coach chase Dad's tornado. I watch as she wraps her arms around Dad's waist. I watch as she slowly brings him back to wind and cloud. I watch Mom take a tissue from her purse to wipe her tears, and the sudden onset of blood from Dad's nose. The next morning, at breakfast, Mom tells Dad, call Dr. Youngblood today, or else. The name's ironic, I think. I'm sorry for losing my cool, Dad tells us. JB asks Mom, can he go to the mall after practice today? There's a new video game we can check out, I say to JB. He hasn't spoken to me in 5 days. Your brother has apologized profusely for his mistake, Mom says to JB. Tell him that I saw the look in his eyes, and it wasn't a mistake, JB replies. Profusely. Adverb. Pouring forth in great quantity. As in, JB gets all nervous and sweats profusely every time Miss Sweet Tea walks into a room. As in, the team has thanked JB profusely for leading us into the playoffs. As in, Mom said Dad's blood pressure was so high during the game that when he went into a rage it caused his nose to start bleeding profusely. Article number 1 in the Daily News, December 14th. The Reggie Lewis Wildcats capped off their remarkable season with a fiery win against Olive Branch Junior High. Playing without suspended phenom Josh Bell didn't seem to faze Coach Hawkins' undefeated Cats. After a brief melee caused by a hard foul, Josh's twin, Jordan, led the team like GW crossing the Delaware to victory, and to their second straight playoff appearance. With a first-round bye, they begin their quest for the county trophy next week against the Independence Red Rockets, the defending champions, while playing without Josh Filthy McNasty Bell, the Daily News' most valuable player. Mostly everyone in class applauds, congratulating me on being selected as the junior high MVP by the Daily News. Everyone except Miss Sweet Tea. You're mean, Josh, and I don't know why they gave you that award after what you did to Jordan, jerk. JB looks at me. I wait for him to say something, anything in defense of his only brother. But his eyes, empty as fired cannons, shoot way past me. Sometimes it's the things that aren't said that kill you. Final Jeopardy. The only sounds, teeth munching melon and strawberry from Mom's fruit cocktail dessert, and Alex Trebek's annoying voice. This 14-time NBA All-Star also played minor league baseball for the Birmingham Barons. Even Mom knows the answer. Hey, Dad, the playoffs start in 2 days, and the team needs me, I say. Plus, my grades were good. JB rolls his eyes and says to Alex what we all know. Who is Michael Jeffrey Jordan?
Josh, this isn't about your grades, Mom says.
How you behave going forward is what matters to us.
I love Christmas. Can't wait for your mother's maple turkey, Dad says,
trying to break the tension.
Nobody responds, so he continues.
Y'all know what the mama turkey said to her naughty son. If your papa could see you now, he'd turn over in his gravy.
None of us laughs.
Then all of us laugh.
Chuck, you are a silly man, Mom says.
Jordan, we want to meet your new friend, she adds.
Yeah, invite her to dinner.
Dad agrees.
Filthy and I want to get to know the girl who stole JB.
Stop that, Chuck, Mom says, hitting Dad on the arm.
What is...
I'll think about it, JB replies, kissing Mom, dapping Dad, and not once looking at me.
Dear Jordan, without you, I am empty. The goal with no net. Seems my life was broken, shattered, like puzzle pieces on the court. I can no longer fit. Can you help me heal? Run with me? Slash with me, like we used to? Like two stars stealing sun, like two brothers burning up together. P.S. I'm sorry.
I don't know if he read my letter, but this morning on the bus to school when I said, Vonda, your head is so big, you don't have a forehead, you have a five head. I could feel JB laughing a little.
No pizza and fries. The spinach and tofu salad Mom packed for my lunch today is cruel. But not as cruel as the evil look Miss Sweet Tea shoots me from across the cafeteria. Even Vondi has a girlfriend now. She wants to be a doctor one day. She's a candy striper and a cheerleader and a talker, with skinny legs and a butt as big as Vermont, which according to her has the best tomatoes, which she claims come in all colors, even purple, which she tells me is her favorite color, which I already know because of her hair. This is still better than having no girlfriend at all, which is what I have now.
Uh-oh.
While I'm on the phone with Vondi talking about my chances of playing in another game this season, I hear panting coming from Mom and Dad's room, but we don't own a dog. I run into Dad's room to see what all the noise is, and find him kneeling on the floor rubbing a towel in the rug. It reeks of vomit.
You threw up Dad? I ask. Must have been something I ate.
He sits up on the bed, holds his chest like he's pledging allegiance. Only there's no flag.
You're ready to eat? He mutters.
You okay, Dad? I ask. He nods and shows me a letter he's reading.
Dad, was that you coughing? I've got great news, Filthy.
What is it? I ask.
I got a coaching offer at a nearby college starting next month.
A job? What about the house? What about Mom? What about me and JB?
Who's going to shoot free throws with us every night? I ask.
Filthy, you and JB are getting older, more mature. You'll manage, he says.
And what's with the switch?
First you want me to get a job, now you don't?
What's up, Filthy?
Dad, Mom thinks you should take it easy for your health, right?
I mean, didn't you make $1 million playing basketball? You don't really need to work.
Filthy, what I need is to get back on the court, That's what your dad needs.
I prefer to be called Josh, Dad. Not Filthy.
Oh, really, Filthy?
He laughs. I'm serious, Dad.
Please don't call me that name anymore.
You gonna take the job, Dad?
Son, I miss Swish. I miss the smell of orange leather.
I miss eating up cats who think they can run with the man. The court is my kitchen.
Son, I miss being the top chef.
So yeah, I'm gonna take it, if your mother lets me.
Well, I will talk to her about this job thing since it means so much to you.
But you know she's really worried about you, Dad.
Filth.
I mean, Josh.
Okay. You talk to her.
He laughs.
And maybe in return, Dad, you can talk to her about letting me back on the team for the playoffs.
I feel like I'm letting my teammates down.
You let your family down too, Josh, he replies, still holding his chest.
So what should I do, Dad?
I ask.
Well, right now you should go set the dinner table, Mom says, standing at the door watching Dad with eyes full of panic.
Behind closed doors, we decided no more basketball, Chuck, Mom yells.
Baby, it's not ball, it's coaching, Dad tells her.
It's still stress. You don't need to be on the court.
The doctor said it's fine, baby.
What doctor? When did you go to the doctor?
I go a couple times a week.
Dr. Webb, MD.
Are you serious? This is not some joke, Charles. Going online is not going to save your life.
Truth is, I've had enough of this talk about me being sick.
So have I. I'm scheduling an appointment for you.
Fine.
I shouldn't be so worried about your heart. It's your head that's crazy.
Crazy for you, little mama.
Stop that. I said stop.
It's time for dinner, Chuck.
Ooh. Who's the man?
And then there is silence.
So I go set the dinner table because when they stop talking, I know what that means. Ugh.
The girl who stole my brother is her new name. She's no longer sweet. Bitter is her taste. Even worse, she asked for seconds of vegetable lasagna, which makes Mom smile because JB and I can't get with this whole better eating thing, and we never ask for seconds until tonight, when JB, still grinning and cheesing for some invisible camera that Miss Bittersweet Tea holds, asks for more salad, which makes Dad laugh and prompts Mom to ask, "How did you two meet?" Surprisingly, JB is a motor mouth, giving us all the details about the first time in the cafeteria.
She came into the lunchroom.
It was her first day at our school. And we just started talking about all kinds of stuff. And she said she played basketball at her last school. And then Vondi was like, JB, she's hot. And I was like, yeah, she is kind of pulchritudinous. And for the first time in 15 days, JB looks at me for a split second. And I almost see the hint of a smile.
Things I learned at dinner.
She went to Nike Hoops Camp for girls. Her favorite player is Skylar Diggins. She can name each of the 2010 NBA champion Lakers. Her dad went to college with Shaquille O'Neal. She knows how to do a crossover. Her AAU team won a championship. She's got game. Her parents are divorced. She's going to visit her mom next week for Christmas break. She lives with her dad. She shoots hoop at the rec to relax. Her mom doesn't want her playing basketball. Her dad's coming to our game tomorrow to see JB play. She's sorry I won't be playing. Her smile is as sweet as Mom's carrot cake. She smells like sugar plum. She has a sister in college. Her sister goes to Duke. Dishes. When the last plate is scrubbed, the leftovers put up, and the floor swept clean, Mom comes into the kitchen. When is Dad's doctor appointment? I ask. Josh, you know I don't like you eavesdropping. I get it from you, Mom, I say. And she laughs, 'cause she knows I'm not saying nothing but the truth. It's next week. School's out next week. Maybe I can go with you to the doctor. Maybe, she says. I put the broom down, wrap my arms around her and tell her thank you for loving us, and Dad, and letting us play basketball, and being the best mother in the world. Keep this up, she says, and you'll be back on the court in no time. Does that mean I can play in tomorrow's playoff game? I ask. Don't press your luck, son. It's going to take more than a hug. Now, help me dry these dishes. Coaches talk before the game. Tonight, I decide to sit on the bench with the team during the game instead of the bleachers with Dad and Mom, who's sitting next to him just in case he decides to act churlish again. Coach says, we've won 10 games in a row. The difference between a winning streak and a losing streak is one game. Now Josh is not with us again, so somebody's going to have to step up in the low post. I sit back down on the bench and watch JB lead our Wildcats to the court. When the game finally starts, I glance up at Dad and Mom, but they're not there. When I look back at the court, JB is staring at me, like we've both just seen another ghost. Josh is play-by-play. The team's in trouble. If they don't find an answer soon, our championship dreams are over. Down by three, they're playing like kittens, not Wildcats. With less than a minute to go, Vondi brings the ball up to court. Will he go inside for a quick two or get the ball to JB for the three ball? He passes the ball to number 29 on the right wing and tries to dribble out. But the defense is suffocating. They're on him like black on midnight. He shoots it over to JB, who looks up at the clock. He's going to let it get as close as possible. They've got to miss me right now. Vondi comes over, sets a high pick. JB's open. He's going to take the three. It's up. That's a good-looking ball there, but not good enough. It clangs off the rim. The buzzer rings and the Wildcats lose the first half. Text messages from Mom, Part 1. 7:04. Dad wasn't feeling well, so we went outside for some air. Back soon. 7:17. I think we're heading home. At halftime, let your brother know. 7:45. Home now. Dad wants to know the score. How is Jordan doing? You okay? 7:47. Y'all hang in there. The second half will be better. Hi to Alexis. Get. 7:47. A ride with Coach or Vondi. Yes, Dad's okay. I think. See you soon. 7:48. I shouldn't have said, I think. He's fine, just tired. He says don't come home. 7:48. If you lose. LOL. The second half. Vondi strips the ball at center court, shoots a short pass to JB who skips downtown, zips around, then double dips it in the bowl. Swoosh. Man, that was cold. We're up by two. These cats are balling. JB is on fire, taking the score higher and higher, and the team and coach and Alexis and me, we're his choir. Wildcats! Wildcats! My brother is Superman tonight, sliding and gliding into rare air, lighting up the sky and the scoreboard, saving the world and our chance at a championship. Tomorrow is the last day of school before Christmas vacation. Tonight, I'm studying. Usually I help JB prepare for his tests, but since the incident, he's been studying alone, which has me a little scared because tomorrow is also the big vocabulary standards test. But don't say that word around Mom. She thinks that standards are a lousy idea. So after the game, I go home and pull out my study sheet with all the words we've been studying and my clues to remember them, like heirloom, as in, Dad treats his championship ring like some kind of family heirloom that we can't wear until one of us becomes the man. I put 8 pages of words on JB's pillow while he's brushing his teeth, then turn off my light and go to sleep. When he climbs into bed, I hear the sound of ruffling paper. Then his nightlight comes on, and I don't hear anything else except, thanks. Coach comes over to my table during lunch, sits down with a bag from McDonald's, hands me a fry and Vondi a fry, bites into his McRib sandwich, and says, Look, Josh, you and your brother need to squash this beef. If my two stars aren't aligned, there's no way the universe is kind to us. Huh? Vondi says. My brother and I got into a bad fight when we were in high school, and we've been estranged ever since. You want that? I shake my head. Then fix it, filthy. Fix it fast. We don't need any distractions on this journey. And while you're working on that, give your mom something special this holiday. She says you've served your sentence well, and that she'll consider letting you back on the team if we make it to the championship game. Merry Christmas, Josh. Estranged. Adjective. The interruption of a bond, when one person becomes a stranger to someone who was close. A relative, friend, or loved one. As in, Alexis's mom and dad are estranged. As in, when I threw the ball at JB, I think I was estranged from myself, if that's possible. As in, even though JB and I are estranged, Dad's making us play together in a 3-on-3 tournament on the rec playground tomorrow. School's out. Mom has to work late, so Dad picks us up. Even though JB's still not talking to me, Dad's cracking jokes, and we're both laughing like it's the good old times. What are we getting for Christmas, Dad? JB asks. What we always get? Books, I reply. And we both laugh, just like the good old times. Boys, your talent will help you win games, Dad says. But your intelligence, that will help you win at life. Who said that? I ask. I said it. Didn't you hear me? Michael Jordan said it, JB says, still looking at Dad. Look, boys, you've both done good in school this year, and your mom and I appreciate that. So you choose a gift, and I'll get it. You mean no books? I ask. Yes! Nope. You're still getting the books, player. Santa's just letting you pick something extra. At the stoplight, JB and I look out the window at the exact moment we pass by the mall, and I know exactly what JB wants. Dad, can we stop at that sneaker store in the mall? Yeah, Dad, can we? JB echoes. And the word we never sounded sweeter. The phone rings. Mom's decorating the tree. Dad's outside shooting free throws, warming up for the tournament.
Hello?
I answer.
Hi, Josh, she replies. May I please speak with Precious?
He's, busy right now, I tell her.
Well, just tell him I will see him at the rec, she says.
And now I understand why JB's taking his second shower this morning, when he barely takes one most school mornings. Basketball rule number 8. Sometimes you have to lean back a little and fade away to get the best shot. When we get to the court, I challenge Dad to a quick game of one-on-one before the tournament so we can both warm up. He laughs and says, check, then gives me the ball, but it hits me in the chest because I'm busy looking over at the swings where Jordan and Miss Sweet Tea are talking and holding hands. Pay attention, Filthy. I mean, Josh. I'm about to clean you up, boy, Dad says. I pump fake him, then sugar shake him for an easy 2. I hear applause. Kids are coming over to watch. On the next play, I switch it up and launch a 3 from downtown. It rolls round and round and in. The benches are filling up. Even Jordan and Alexis are now watching. 5-0 is the score. Third play of the game. I try my crossover, but Dad steals the ball like a thief in the night. Camps out at the top for a minute.
What you doing, old man?
I say, don't worry about me, son. I'm contemplating preparing to shut down all your player hating, Dad says. So then I ever tell you about this cat named Willie I play with in Italy? And before I can answer, he unleashes a killer crossover, leaving me wishing for a cushion. The kids are off the benches, on their feet hollering. Oh, whoop, whoop! Meet the press, Josh Bell. Dad laughs, on his way to the hoop. But then, at noon in the gym with my dad, people watching, players boasting, me scoring, Dad snoring, crowd growing, we bawling, me pumping, Dad jumping, me faking nasty shot, nasty moves, 5-0, my lead, next play, dribble, bounce, dribble, steal, Dad laughs. Palms ball, you okay? Dad winks. Watch this. He dips. Sweat drips. Left, y'all. Right, y'all. I fall. Crowd wild. Dad drives, steps, strides, runs fast, hoop bound, stutter steps, lets loose, screams loud, stand still. Breath short. More sweat. Grabs chest. Eyes roll. Ball drops. Dad drops. I scream. Help, please! Sweet Tea dials cell. Jordan runs, brings water, splashes face. Dad nothing, out cold. I remember gym class. Tilt pinch. Blow pump. Blow pump. Still nothing. Blow pump. Sirens blast. Pulse gone. Eyes shut. Fourth quarter. The doctor pats Jordan and me on the back and says, your dad should be fine. If you're lucky, you boys will be fishing with him in no time. We don't fish, I tell him. Mom shoots me a mean look. Mrs. Bell, the myocardial infarction has caused some complications. Your husband's stable, but he is in a coma. In between sobs, JB barely gets his question out. Will my dad be home for Christmas? He looks at us and says, try talking to him. Maybe he can hear you, which could help him come back. Well, maybe we're not in a talking mood, I say.
Joshua Bell, be respectful,
Mom tells me. I shouldn't even be here. I should be putting on my uniform, stretching, getting ready to play in the county semifinals. But instead, I'm sitting in a smelly room in St. Luke's Hospital, listening to Mom sing Kumbaya, watching Jordan hold Dad's hand, wondering why I have to push water uphill with a rake, to talk to someone who isn't even listening, to miss the biggest game of my life. Myocardial infarction, noun, occurs when blood flow to an area of the heart is blocked for a long enough time that part of the heart muscle is damaged or dies. As in, JB says that he hates basketball because it was the one thing that Dad loved the most besides us, and it was the one thing that caused his myocardial infarction. As in, the doctor sees me Googling the symptoms, coughing, sweating, vomiting, nosebleeds, and he says, you know, we can't be sure what causes a myocardial infarction. I say, what about donuts and fried chicken and genetics? The doctor looks at my mom, then leaves. As in, Dad's in a coma because of a myocardial infarction, which is the same thing my grandfather died of. So what does that mean for me and JB? Okay, Dad. The doctor says I should talk to you. That maybe you can hear, and maybe you can't. Mom and JB have been talking your ear off all morning, so if you're listening, I'd like to know when do you decide to jump ship? I thought you were a man. And one more thing. If we make it to the finals, I will not miss the big game for a small maybe. Mom, since you asked, I'll tell you why I'm so angry. Because Dad tried to dunk. Because I want to win a championship. Because I can't win a championship if I'm sitting in this smelly hospital. Because Dad told you he'd be here forever. Because I thought forever was like Mars, far away. Because it turns out, forever is like the mall, right around the corner. Because Jordan doesn't talk basketball anymore. Because Jordan cut my hair and didn't care. Because he's always drinking sweet tea. Because sometimes I get thirsty. Because I don't have anybody to talk to now. Because I feel empty with no hair. Because CPR doesn't work. Because my crossover should be better. Because if it was better, then Dad wouldn't have had the ball. Because if Dad hadn't had the ball, then he wouldn't have tried to dunk. Because if Dad hadn't tried to dunk, then we wouldn't be here. Because I don't want to be here. Because the only thing that matters is swish. Because our backboard is splintered. Text messages from Vondi. 8:05. Filthy. The game went double overtime before the last possession. 8:05. Coach called a timeout and had us all do a special chant on the sideline. 8:06. It was kinda creepy. The other team was LOL. I guess it worked. 'Cause 8:06. We won. 40-39. We dedicated the game ball to your pop. 8:07. Is he better? You and JB coming to practice? Filthy, you there? On Christmas Eve, Dad finally wakes up. He smiles at Mom, high-fives Jordan, then looks right at me and says, Filthy, I didn't jump ship. Santa Claus stops by. We're celebrating Christmas in Dad's hospital room. Flowers and gifts and cheer surround him. Relatives from 5 states. Aunts with collards and yams, cousins with hoots and hollers and runny noses. Mom singing, Dad's playing spades with his brothers. I know the nurses can't wait for visiting hours to end. I can't either. Uncle Bob's turkey tastes like cardboard, and his lemon pound cake looks like jello. But Hospital Santa has everyone singing, and all this joy is spoiling my mood. I can't remember the last time I smiled. Happy is a huge river right now, and I've forgotten how to swim. After 2 hours, Mom tells everyone it's time for Dad to get some rest. I hug 14 people, which is like drowning. When they leave, Dad calls Jordan and me over to the bed. Do you all remember when you were 7 and JB wanted to swing, but all the swings were filled, and Filthy pushed the little redhead kid out of the swing so JB could take it? Well, it wasn't the right behavior, but the intention was righteous. You were there for each other. I want you both to always be there for each other. Jordan starts crying. Mom holds him and takes him outside for a walk. Me and Dad stare at each other for 10 minutes without saying a word. I tell him I don't have anything to say. Filthy. Silence doesn't mean we have run out of things to say, only that we are trying not to say them. So, let's do this. I'll ask you a question, then you ask me a question, and we'll just keep asking until we can both get some answers. Okay? Sure, I say. But you go first. Questions. Have you been practicing your free throws? Why didn't you go to the doctor when Mom asked you? When is the game? Why didn't you ever take us fishing? Does your brother still have a girlfriend? Are you going to die? Do you really want to know? Why couldn't I save you? Don't you see that you did? Do you remember I kept pumping and breathing? Aren't I alive? Did y'all arrest Uncle Bob's turkey? It was just criminal what he did to that bird, wasn't it? You think this is funny? How's your brother? Is our family falling apart? You still think I should write a book? What does that have to do with anything? What if I call it Basketball Rules? Are you going to die? Do you know I love you, son? Don't you know the big game's tomorrow? Is it true Mom is letting you play? You think I shouldn't play? What do you think, Filthy? What about Jordan? Does he want to play? Don't you know he won't as long as you're in here? Don't you know I know that? So why don't you come home? Can't you see I can't? Why not? Don't you know it's complicated, Filthy? Why can't you call me by my real name? Josh, do you know what a heart attack is? Don't you remember I was there? Don't you see I need to be here so they can fix the damage that's been done to my heart? Who's going to fix the damage that's been done to mine? Tanka, for language arts class. This Christmas was not merry, and I have not found joy in the new year with Dad in the hospital for 19 days and counting. I don't think I'll ever get used to walking home from school alone, playing Madden alone, listening to Little Wayne alone, going to the library alone, shooting free throws alone, watching